Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Shall we stand for the reading of the word? And I shall be reading from Acts of the Apostle, the New King James Version, chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. And I read, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they were watching, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, and behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, who said unto them, Men of Galilee, why do you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will be coming in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you, O God, that the same Jesus that have ascended would be the same Jesus would be descended. Father, enlighten our faith in Jesus' mighty name. Give us a receptive ears, O God, to hear your voice, my Lord and my Father. As it said in Isaiah, he said, your word shall come forth and it shall not return void, but it shall fulfill the purpose for which it was sent. Father, help us, oh God, to understand, oh my Lord and my Father, to know what it is to be a witness unto the end of the earth. My Lord and my Father, let your Shekinah glory fill this place. Let your anointed Holy Spirit fill this place. Empower us, my Lord. Renew a rightful spirit in us this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you. Receive all the glory, receive all the praise. And all of God people said, Amen and Amen. You may be seated, please. As I was coming this morning, I remembered when I woke up that it was during the month of May that people were running, people were shouting, and some were gazing because they were looking towards the volcano. I remember my colleagues, some of them went, one of, as Brother William said, on the road to Damascus. But that was on the road to Entebbe. And while some tarry here, I remember my brother here, when we came the Sunday to the church and there were no one, only a few of us here. But I remember gazing up, looking to the sky, even though I'm a believer. And I said, Lord, this fire shall not come upon me, because I know that you are consuming fire. But this fire that I see coming here, let it not come near me in Jesus' mighty name. I am telling you today that that fire never come near you. That fire never come near me. And that fire shall never come near us in Jesus' mighty name. Because he has risen and he's sitting on the right-hand side of God, interceding for you. That is the faith that the disciples, that is the faith that the apostle did not have. because they're accustomed for him to be walking with them, for them to be talking with them. And when it's the time for him to go, they never even believed that he was going. It had to be the two men, two angels that came down and said, that same Jesus that you have seen going up, is that same Jesus would come back. I am telling you today, he shall come back for me and you. But what are you doing? What are you doing to receive him when he comes back? Would we be gazing? Would we be watching? Their feet were in the right position. Their eyes might be in the right position, but they were in the wrong place. Because he said, go to the place of Jericho. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait until I send to you that Holy Spirit. If he could not have ascending, he would not have sent down the power to you. I said, if he could not have ascending, he would not give you that power today. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to comfort us, to protect us and to lead us, to guide us in every part of our way. Oh, my Lord and my Father, we thank you for that comforting spirit in Jesus' mighty name. And as some were running, I called my wife. I said, I can see the Congolese running. And they were running past my home. And in the next morning, I look again. I saw them running back from the border. They were going this way. They were going that way. They were going this way. They were going to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. But I said, I shall not be removed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me gaze, but I shall not gaze for long, because I know the God that I serve will deliver us out of bondage in Jesus' mighty name. And even up to yesterday, as we were planning, you know, I'm in movement control, logistics. We receive a call that we need to support our troops. And we were looking at the logistics, all the kitchen facilities, all the toilet facilities, all the fuel that we have to supply. My brother Aaron there, we were just talking about it. How can we supply them? So as the ward of the M23 that is trying to threaten this village of Goma, it shall not come near in Jesus' name. It shall not prevail against us, because we are believers. We stand on the promises of God, and it shall not come near us in Jesus' mighty name. We shall only see with our eye the work of the village, but it shall not come near our tent in Jesus' mighty name. Brother, stand on the word of God, proclaim his goodness, his mercy, his protection. It shall not come near us in Jesus' mighty name. Let me stick to my text. I always happen to be misled and guided, but let me stick to the topic that they have given me today. Why stand he gazing? In my research, I tried to picture in the scene of Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Approximately 40 days, the post-resurrection. Glancing in the covers of the mountain and at the rising sun into the blue skies of Jerusalem. Seeing the disciples waiting in anticipation. They were expecting something for which Jesus, there is always something about to happen. But they were not ready for what would have taken place. It would be the most amazing thing that would ever witness as the Savior would have made his way to the splendors of heaven, escorted by attending angel. That is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be a witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The gospel writer Luke, he depicted the occasion, indicated that Jesus had given to the disciples both a command and an encouragement. of the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that while he spoke to them, suddenly he was withdrawn from the midst in a cloud. Can you imagine yourself gazing and looking, and suddenly you've been given that hope and reassurance that the same Jesus that was here walking, talking with us would come back again. This astonishing, inspiring occurrence was so stunning that the disciples stood spellbound, gazing, and even after his disappearance from their sight. The word translates gazing as indicating that it was more than a usual scare. We can scare at someone, stare at you. We can gaze at you. But this was unusual for them to be standing on holy ground and gazing and staring forever. Had it not been for the two men, had it not been for the angel that topped them and said, "How long have you been gazing? How long would you be gazing? And what has the promises of God said for you? Is it this your place? But go to Jerusalem where he has directed you and wait on the Holy Spirit that would empower you and go and be a witness to all Samaria and to all Judea and to all to the end of the world. Then he shall come in a roaring thunder." I said, "My Lord and my Father, he is coming back today. He is coming back for me and you. The dead shall rise and those who are alive shall be caught up in the heavens with him, and we shall live for eternity in Jesus' mighty name." They were astonished. They were gazing. And who knows how long the disciple would have continued to stare into the sky, into the two beings that have not topped them on their shoulders and asked them the question, "How long?" We do not know. But what we do know is that this question brings us face to face with the compelling realities that challenges us even up to this day. We should share the love of God in these last days. And it reminds me that there are three lessons that can be learned from Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, 8 to 11. The first one is a reminder. We remind ourselves that the people of Galilee, who Jesus chose to stand and to look. If you understand the Bible, you understand Galilee. It's a scene that reminds us of a place of origin. It helps us recognize that the call by Jesus to discipleship was in fact an honor. He took them from their simple, unassuming lifestyle, and he brought them to a place of apostleship. Jesus could have been selected individual from everywhere, but he picked them. In doing so, he gave them a vision of hope to proclaim the world. He should remind each of us that we have already discovered the ways of salvation, and it was Jesus who brought us from our own Galilee. We need to be thankful for the privilege of the commission that he gave upon our life. Amen. We need to be transferred. In the book of Matthew, from the 28th, verse 19, he called it the Great Commissioning. He said, "Be." That's the last word that was spoken to man before he ascended. Go and preach the gospel to the east, to the west, to the north, and the south, and he shall come back when it has been preached to the end of the world. Why, stirring voice, the angels seek to remind them, as frustrating as it can be at times, there is still a great work to be proclaimed, a timeless and impeccable message. Therefore, gazing as a result of frustration, will you not do the job that was being set before you? We must accept the biblical fact that our identity as part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and get on with our divine mission. We are ambassadors of Christ in Jesus' mighty name. For Paul said we are ambassadors. And as you would know, ambassadors are witnesses. They are representative of a country. So you have the ambassador of DRC Congo to the United Nations. He's there to give testimony on behalf of your country. You have the ambassador of the USA to even Congo. He is there, or his presence at least should be there to give witness unto all the earth. And the other point that I wish to highlight is the focus, refocus. It learned us to remind us, then it teaches us to refocus. The angel asked the disciple, why stand he gazing? The question involves two verbs indicating the negative action. Why were you standing and gazing? Action word or verb? Standing and gazing. Furthermore, it was not just one person gazing. It was quite obvious that they were all standing and gazing. The mission, as expressed from the lips of Jesus, was go and make disciples. You cannot stand and gaze and at the same time go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. In that situation that you're facing today, do not stand in it. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. If you don't go, you will stay static. As the military said, they say once you are static, you are even vulnerable. You must be moving. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we shall not be static, that we shall not be gazing, but we shall go and make disciples. Go and look for the Lord thy God inside. He said, for your brow you that are eaten, by your bread you that go. But go out there, put your hands to the plow, and you shall not turn back, because he's the God of provision. He will provide for you, but you have to make the first step. You have to step out in faith and don't look back. As he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, go to the place that I will show you. Abraham never knew, but Abraham leave his family behind, and he went out in faith in Jesus' mighty name. We shall go in faith. We shall go in faith. Because that power that he has given to us, we shall move in faith and not by sight in Jesus' mighty name. And even as they were to argue that he had instructed them to wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit, in Luke chapter 24 verse 29 and Acts 1 verse 4, their current posture was not the recommended stand. Their eyes faced the right direction, but their feet were in the wrong place. Now was the time for them to be conscious to themselves as leader of the Jesus movement, not no longer to be passive, but to be active in Jesus' mighty name. Between the ascending and the descending of the Messiah, between the going and the coming of Jesus, there is a mighty work to do, said the angel. You command ways was to go to Jerusalem and wait. Your work is witnessing, not watching. Why stand he gazing? Go and get it done in Jesus' mighty name. But as there were the disciples, so it was with them. Their call was not a summon just to gaze, nor in his hours. They gained eternal victory because they were willing to involve themselves in the eternal fight. Then the struggle of God's children as a wronged us. And because they heeded the word of the angel, they went back to Jerusalem and waited for the Spirit. They were empowered empowered. Pentecost came, and 3,000 were baptized. The early church formed and took the gospel to the known world. And we too, when we determine to cease gazing and seek the power of the Lord, seek the power of the Holy Spirit, we will find that there is no limit to the great feat we can accomplish through Jesus Christ, our King, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And finally, he gave us the reassurance. There is reassurance that he is alive, that he shall come back. And those two angels, when they are descending upon them, and he said, that same Jesus that you've seen gone up would be the same Jesus that would come back. While he stand gazing, go out there, my Lord and my Father. We thank you for that promise in Jesus' mighty name. This is not a promise made by us, but a promise made to us. Our promise means little. When a husband say, I take you to be my lawful wedding wife, to have and to hold till death do us apart, it may make a good feeling to you, but it's not our promise to each other that makes the difference. It is God's promise to us when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He shall never leave you nor forsake you. As he has never left Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he shall never leave you in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever we do, I pray that the Lord thy God would never leave us. He would never forsake us, because that same Jesus is coming back for each and every one of you. He would never, he's not the man that he would lie, he's not the son of man that he would confess. Whatever he said he would do, he would do it. And if he said, I am coming back, be prepared in Jesus' name. He shall surely come back. As in the book of Thessalonians, he said he might come like a thief in the night. But I pray, my Lord and my Father, that we shall not be caught in our slumber, but we shall be wise, and we shall receive the wedding of the God in the land of the living, in Jesus' mighty name. In Philippians chapter 19, but God said, I will supply all your needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's a promise. Another promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He said, God has provided promise that his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, he assures us that the way of escape will be provided. That is the promise. In second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God has promised that his grace is sufficient for us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32, God has promised us victory over death. His first resurrected Jesus by the way of assuring our redemption. Peter said, this Jesus, which had God risen up, will then for be a witness to all the earth. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God had promised that all things work together for the good for those who love and serve him faithfully. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, God has promised that those who believe in Jesus and are baptized for the forgiveness of the sins will be saved. In John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, God has promised his people eternal life. But my brothers and my sisters, I'm telling you that the greatest promise of all was the promise from the angel that said that this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come down in the same manner, and you shall be not the same again in Jesus' mighty name. The fact of his second coming and the manner in which it was described unequivocally, I say famine, pestilences, war, earthquake, volcano will not obliterate him from coming again. Oh, my Lord and my Father, political tension will not overcome him, will not overwhelm him. Economic anxiety will not obstruct him. Terrorism threat will not obstruct him. He shall come back in Jesus' mighty name. They simply proclamation the fact that prolonged inevitable, the publicity that Jesus Christ is coming. Trouble will not last forever. Jesus is coming back. He will come personally. He will not send a representative. He shall come himself. The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come again. He will come literally. He will descend like he ascended. This same Jesus, he will definitely come. He knew no sin, and because of sin, for us, in Jesus' mighty name, he shall come back. He became flesh and dwell among us. This same Jesus, he is the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world. This same Jesus, he is coming. He is coming himself. He shall come. He shall come in Jesus' mighty name, and he shall not tarry. Don't let yourself be still. Don't be still. Oh, my Lord and my Father, have you said to God, Father, you have said to Josiah, you have said, oh God, you said, go and make disciples to the end of the world. Execute the mission. Fulfill your calling. Go and let the world know that Jesus is coming back. I tell you today, as I stand on his promises, I see the goodness of the Lord in this land of Goma, in this land of the city. My Lord and my Father, we stand on your promise, my God, and we are waiting, oh God, for when you shall return in all your glory and all your splendor. Oh, my Father in heaven, he shall come back. The same Jesus. Why stand he gazing? Go and make disciple in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shall we stand up? And shall we pray with an understanding that the Holy Spirit would descend upon us. He would comfort us, he would guide us, and he would protect us. And as the song of his voice, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word, oh God. You said that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain. We thank you, God, for this. For the two angels that you have sent, my Lord and my Father. And you said, why do he still gazing? But to go to Jerusalem and wait. For if there was no ascension, there would have been no descension of the Holy Spirit. There would have been no communion in oneness. And there be no witness unto the end of the world. My Lord and my Father, give us that faith. That faith to walk out, my God, and be a witness in this land of Congo and beyond. Open up our eyes, my Lord. Give us the wisdom, knowledge, understanding to know that the same Jesus that have ascended will descend. Father, let us not be caught off guarded. Let us not be caught unprepared, my Lord and my Father. Prepare our hearts, minds, and soul to receive the coming King. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.